The Pilatin war parties moved out into the woods and straight into trouble. The areas they had to traverse were thick, and it was impossible for them to move stealthily. The same was true for the incoming attack parties, but the Pilatins were making too much noise of their own to hear. Leading his party, JV signaled them to halt to listen for the enemy approach.
Why are we stopping?
So I can hear what's going on, Demian. And keep your voice down for fuck's sake. Don't need to give away our position.
Demian took a step forward.
What the fuck are you doing?
You may be frightened, Pale One, but I am not. And I take no orders from you.
An astonished JB watched the man move openly through the woods. JB disgustedly signaled to his party.
Shit. All right, follow. We'll have to cover him.
Cutting a swath through the foliage, the separatist named Demian came across a group of outsiders as they tried to sneak through the woods. It was a toss-up who was the more surprised at the sudden confrontation.
What the hell?
The separatist looked at the stunned war party. They consisted of a white man, two blacks, and a Hispanic.
But you are my brothers. Why should I make war with you? We can talk about this, can't we not? I would
Look
rather...
Look in hell! Take the freak down before he stops talking and starts firing!
The Uzi slugs perforated his midsection, almost cutting Demian in two. The sound of the blaster fire galvanized the others in the war party, and they all began to open fire.
Take them out, now!
The stunned Pilatins behind him snapped back to reality and took aim, also beginning to fire. The offensive war party retreated rapidly into the woods, leaving behind two dead, the white man and one of the blacks, and JB was certain that at least one of the others had been hit and was losing blood.
Let us pursue them!
No! Let them go! It's too easy for them to rig an ambush out here. Fall back!
Retreat? Like cowards?
No, like people using our brains. We'll pull back and lure them into the open.
The armorer started to track back toward the Pilatin camp. As they reached the campsite, they found that more parties were coming in after skirmishes. The talk among the Pilatins was bewilderment at the nature of their enemy. Marcos came over to where the companions had gathered.
We have lost several of our people, although we have taken a number of the enemy to compensate. But my people cannot adjust to the idea that other blacks will fire on them. This is completely alien to me. Surely we are all brethren.
Keep that attitude up and there won't be any Pilatins left to make a new home. I've tried to tell you, it doesn't matter what color you are out here, only that it's your ville against the rest. Whatever it takes to survive. And you're gonna have to get used to shooting blacks as well as whites, Hispanics, and fucking Martians if they're shooting at you. Got it?
But I am out of my depth now. Ryan, I would like you to take over the action. Then we may have a chance. I am not good enough.
Marcos, cut the self-pity. You're a good sec chief. You've just never had this kind of experience before, so learn from it. You're still the boss, but take advice when it's offered. Like now.
I understand. Let's put your plan into action.
Ryan charged Jack and Mildred to assist Marcos with relaying the plan to the individual groups. The albino and Mildred were the two companions all the Pilatins trusted. As soon as they had finished, the Pilatins sprang into action. Small groups ventured to the lip of the woods and established sentry posts up in the trees. While they did that, others formed a small circle of covered wags in the center of the clearing, with the livestock gathered inside. Some of the Pilatins remained with the wags to make it seem as though there had been a full-scale retreat into the center. The remainder of the Pilatins, along with the companions, then made their way to the sentry posts in the trees, hiding themselves in the upper reaches of the foliage. From the reports of the various war parties, Ryan realized that the opposing forces had retreated when met with fierce resistance. They'd had time to regroup and would likely be making a second offensive. They would be suspicious that they were meeting no resistance as they moved through the woods, but when they caught sight of the defended circle of wags, with the Pilatins within arranging things to look like the whole community had pulled back into cover, the outsiders would attempt to rush the wags and leave themselves wide open to attack from above. The key would be for the Pilatin snipers to keep silent and still until the right moment. Jack had volunteered to scout the woods to try to bring back advance warning of incoming parties. He had disappeared silently into the undergrowth some time ago, and Ryan now could feel the tension spreading through the Pilatins as they hunched anxiously in the foliage. Without warning, Jack suddenly appeared and shinnied up the tree where Ryan was waiting.
Coming. Down to maybe 45, 46. In one party. Not all men either.
They have one woman.
Ryan smiled slowly. It was working out better than he could have hoped. The opposition was choosing safety in numbers and traveling in one phalanx that would keep them together and effectively concentrated for the ambush. It was interesting that no one had spotted the woman before, and odd that she should be the only one. But she was still the enemy. Jack moved from tree to tree like a ghostly monkey, spreading the message. Ryan settled in to wait. Apprehension had left him. Action was coming, and soon. Within minutes, the outsiders could be heard moving through the undergrowth, their numbers making stealth a futility. Slowly, they came into view. In a wedge formation, they scanned the area around them, never thinking to look up. Ryan caught sight of the woman. There was something familiar about her. He put it from his mind as the two men in front reached the lip of the clearing and saw the people gathered in the center.
Let's charge them. Get it done before they have a chance to open up and fight.
The outsiders charged into the clearing, opening fire on the covered wags. The Pilatans inside began to return fire. They had padded the walls of their enclosure as much as possible, but with a focus of a brutal onslaught. But they had only to hold out until the attackers had come completely into the open. At a signal from Ryan, the Pilatans in the trees began to fire. Most of the outsiders had no idea where the attack was coming from. Those who did whirled around and tried to return fire, but realized that they were in no position to defend themselves.
Let's get the fuck out of here!
The phalanx broke apart, scattering to the woods, while still returning fire. Very few made it to the woods. The clearing was littered with corpses, caught up in the crossfire of the two Pilatan groups. Some died from friendly fire as the panicked party tried to return fire from all directions.
Pursue!
The Pilatans dropped from the trees and, heady with battle lust, followed the opposing force through the woods. Some escaped, starting the wags and speeding across the plain to wherever they had come from, but most of the enemy never made it out. When they were sure that the woods had been secured, the Pilatans assembled in the clearing, having gathered the enemy dead. Sunita insisted that the Pilatans afford their enemies the same respect as their own few casualties, and the Pilatans split into groups to bury the dead and prepare for departure.
We have done well, and we have learned much today. We must move on now before we invite further hostilities, which would be unnecessary on both sides. We will attempt to find ourselves a place where we can build our own vill, and then perhaps we shall not be treated with such disdain.
Well, I wouldn't bet on that, huh, Dad?
No, neither would I. But maybe they've learned a lot about the mainland in one nasty quick lesson. What do you reckon? Dean?
Ryan looked at his son, who was staring in open-mouthed disbelief at the edge of the clearing. Following his son's gaze, Ryan could see the woman from the war party standing at the edge of the clearing. Again, there was something familiar about her, but more importantly, why was she still there?
Dean, what is it?
Dean shook his head in disbelief.
Rona!
Sharona?
Ryan couldn't believe it. The woman at the edge of the clearing seemed much older than Dean's mother would be, if she had lived. But Sharona had died. Rad sickness was why she had sent the boy away from her. This woman appeared gaunt, different than he remembered. Although there was something about the eyes. Perhaps that was why Ryan had looked at her uneasily when he had seen her in the war party. Even as these thoughts crossed Ryan's mind, the woman was stepping forward into the clearing, so that both he and his son could see her clearly.
Dean! I knew you were coming!
She slowly walked toward them. Dean broke from beside his father and ran to embrace her. Ryan watched, still stunned at the sight of a woman he had thought long dead. Away to one side, both Jack and Christy stopped in their work.
Who dat?
I don't know, but I've got a feeling it's going to be nothing but trouble.